that. Coughing, sniffling going on. I hope that God touches you. It just seems to be going on and on and on, but we're going to pray and ask God just to touch and to heal all those that have that, and I think that'd be a good thing to do right now. Let's just pray and ask God to touch people that are struggling with this. God, there seems to be such a proliferation of coughing and sinus stuff and all of that kind of junk that's going around. So God, this morning I pray that you would just bring healing to your people, that you would touch them, that you would strengthen them, that they would be relieved from this thing, and that you do it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe God answers prayer? Amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through a series on Sunday mornings here in January talking about our purpose, our vision, what we're about, what we're here for, what we're trying to accomplish. And one of the things that our mission statement says, North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. We're going to focus on that part of by building relationships this morning and talk about that. Came across a letter I'd like to read to you. It says, Dear Frank, we've been neighbors for 6 tumultuous years. When you borrowed my mower, you returned it in pieces. When I was sick, you blasted rap music. When your dog went to the bathroom all over my lawn, you laughed. I could go on, but I'm certainly not one to hold grudges. So I'm writing this letter to let you know that your house is on fire. How many of you got good neighbors this morning? We've got great neighbors, and we thank God for it. That's a real blessing, and we're going to talk about building relationships with people around you. It's kind of a lost art of building relationships. Kind of brings up a thought. What kind of relationship? Now, I want you just to think about this. Don't raise your hand or anything. I just want you to think in your own mind about this. What kind of relationship do you have with your neighbors? The people that live on either side of you, do you know their name? Do you know what their interests are? Do you know anything about their lives? Have you been in their house? Did they know you were in their house? That's probably an important question to answer. Do you know your neighbor's children's names? Do they have children? All of these kinds of things. You know, there was a time in our history where we built our relationships on proximity. We built relationships with people that were near us. Our neighbors, my grandma and grandpa, I was kind of half raised by them. And they knew everybody on their block by name. They had been in their houses. They would sit out on the front porch at night and chat with each other, walk around in neighbors' houses, all of that kind of stuff. That doesn't happen anymore. We base our relationships now more on affinities, more on things that we have in common with each other. And because we're so mobile, many of our relationships are built around the workplace or around clubs that we belong to or things like that. And with the advent of social media, we're becoming even less prone to actually build relationships. And while social media has some good uses to it and can be used for positive things, it also can substitute real relationships for surface kind of relationships. And I don't want to get off on social media, but you know, it really takes away the personal touch of what we have in life and how we can be face-to-face. And there's so much more. The things that are said on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all of that kind of stuff, most of us would be very reluctant to say some of the things that we say if we were actually face-to-face with the person that we're talking to. That might be a good exercise to kind of go through, is if I was sitting across the table from this person, would I say what I'm about to say? Because there's something about that interpersonal relationship that is so important. So we're going to talk in a very practical way this morning about how to build relationships, because it is so important in the kingdom of God that we build relationships with each other. It can be very easy in the church today for us to come to church every Sunday morning, say hi to a few people, shake their hand, ask them how they're doing, and basically that's the extent of our relationship with them. That's as far as it goes. We never really spend any time with them. With the advent of the internet and television and Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff, it becomes very easy to kind of cocoon our lives into those families that we have and just kind of leave it that way and never really extend out into relationships with other people that we get to know and we get to love and we get to share our life with. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do you actually do that? Because there are some very concrete steps that you need to take to build relationships. And the kingdom of God, if you want to see people one to Christ, your best method of doing that is to build relationships based on trust and knowledge. 30 or 40 years ago, there was something called the Fuller Brush Man. How many of you remember the Fuller Brush Man? A few of you do. That was a guy that sold Fuller brushes, right, just like the name implies. But he did it in a very unique way. He would walk neighborhoods going door to door, knocking on doors, asking if you needed any brushes. That was very popular at one time. Nowadays, you don't see people going door to door because immediately what happens when a stranger knocks at our door is we pull the shades aside and we see who it is. And then we go, honey, there's somebody at the door. I don't know him. I've never seen him before. Have call 911, but just dial the 91. Have your finger on the other one so that if we need to, we can call them right away. We're very suspicious of strangers. And if they come up and they say, hi, would you like to give to? We don't usually even let them get it out of their mouth. We say, oh, no, I gave it the office. Or something like that. Because we're suspicious. But if your neighbor, if your friend, if your brother, if your sister, if your uncle, if your aunt, if somebody that's close to you comes and says, hey, I'm running in a 10K race next week. We're raising funds for the American Cancer Society. Would you like to pledge? Chances are you will probably do that because you're nice and kind and humane, right? You'll at least give something. Why? Because you've got a relationship with them. Now let's take a minute. Let's apply that to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why in the world would anybody listen to somebody they don't know tell them how they can know God better? They don't have a relationship with you. Relationship opens the opportunities for sharing Christ in a real, tangible way. They can see your life. They know you're consistent. They know that you believe what you say. And, you know, it's so easy. We kind of gotten spoiled on television preachers and disappointed in some ways with them, too, when things came out that we didn't know about and all that kind of stuff because we took a word of a stranger. That's why the local church is so important, because we can get together, we can know each other, we can know our trials, we can know our struggles, we can know our difficulties, we can get to know each other. So we need to build relationships with others in our lives. It is not good for a Christian to cocoon their life and to cut themselves off and have only a few friends. A couple of weeks ago, I cited a statistic. I don't remember exactly what it is right now, but I cited a statistic that said all of us, we know about, we come in contact with about 50 or 60 people within a week's time of different people that we come in contact with, but we only spend time with about three or four of them. Because we want to be comfortable. We want to be around people that we know and people that we trust. And it takes a real effort to expand your horizons, to reach out to people, to build relationships with them. So we're going to talk about some biblical examples of building relationships that we need to put into our lives. Now, these came kind of naturally to our forefathers because they were forced into it by their lifestyle. You know, some of them certainly didn't have cell phones and texting and all of that kind of stuff. If they wanted to talk to somebody, they had to go face-to-face to talk to them. And they built relationships that way. And number one in building a relationship is don't wait to reach out. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. Begin the conversation. There's a story in the Bible of a guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short guy. Not like me. He was short. I know you think I'm tall because I stand on this stage, but when I get down in there, you suddenly say, wow, Pastor Joe's kind of short. That's okay. I can handle it. I'm not bitter or angry or anything about it. Zacchaeus was a little man, and he heard that Jesus was coming, so he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord as he passed by. And Jesus looked up, and he reached out to Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I'm coming to your house today for dinner." Now, I've often wondered if I could get away with that, just walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, I'm coming to your house for dinner today. I'd really like to talk to you." That's not socially acceptable anymore. But you can invite them to your house. There's something intimate about being invited into someone else's home. If someone invites you into their home, they're accepting you, they're welcoming you, and there's immediate bond that takes place when you have someone invite you into your home. So number one, don't wait. Take the initiative in building relationships. Don't wait for them to come to you. Look for someone that has a need, someone that is hungry for fellowship. And there are a lot of people that are hungry for fellowship in this world. But take that initiative. If you wait for others to reach out to you, you will wait forever. Someone's got to start it. Someone's got to take the risk. Someone has to be vulnerable. We're going to talk about the vulnerability of building relationships in just a few minutes. But you've got to take that first step in inviting someone into a conversation. Have a cup of coffee. Make it face-to-face. Make it something that is intimate and close so that you can begin the process of building that relationship. So don't wait. Reach out. The second thing that you need to do, that we need to do better, is to build the fine art of listening. We need to be better listeners. And this is something so important in our culture today. We don't listen well at all. We just don't. We are always formulating what we're going to say. We have our preconceived ideas. If someone says, "Boy, I listen to such and such a radio station, you know, and it happens to be a talk show," or so, we immediately have in mind what we're going to say next and why we don't agree with that or why we agree with that or that kind of thing. We don't listen very well. We want to talk. "I am chiefest among them. I talk for a living. And so I always have to have an answer ready." And honestly, it takes a real concerted effort for me to shut my mouth and just listen. Who said amen? Your husband ratted you out. I hate it when they're right. There's a story in the Bible of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who knew how to listen, and it benefited him greatly. He came to Jesus one time in the nighttime so no one would know that he was talking to him. He was a teacher of the law. He was a very learned man, and he saw all these things that Jesus was doing, all of the miracles that was taking place, all of the great things that were happening, and he said, "We know you do this by the power of God. We know God is with you." And he doesn't really even ask the question, but what he was wondering is, "Are you the Messiah? How do I get to know God like you know God?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus only answers two times. He asks two questions in the whole conversation. If you look in John chapter 3, there's a whole big chunk of conversation. But Nicodemus does a great job of just listening. He asks two questions. "What do you mean, and how is that possible? What do you mean you must be born again, and how is it possible?" He kind of takes it literal and he says, "How can a person enter his mother's womb a second time and be born a second time?" And Jesus says, "You're a teacher of the law and you don't understand this." He goes on to explain. And we find out later on that Nicodemus became a believer, that he gave his heart to God, that he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and he became a believer in Jesus Christ as the Messiah because he listened. He had his mind changed because he listened. And folks, I think that maybe we would have our minds changed sometimes too if we listened. And that scares us. A fool thinks his own way is right, but wise people listen to others. "I know what I believe. I'm not going to be dissuaded. You'll never change my mind." Be careful about saying stuff like that. In the context of relationships and getting to know people, you know, especially in situations like, how many of you know how to raise other people's kids? Don't we all know how to raise other people's kids? You know,
if I was my kid, boy, here's what I'd do. All they need to do is blah, 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 and then the kid would shape up. Just give him to me for a day.
Give him to you for a day, and you'll be crying in your soup. Because you don't know their story. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether that kid has a medical condition. You don't know whether that, you know, you just don't know the story of it. But if you'd listen, if you'd stop and listen to the parents and hear what's good, it goes for all kinds of things in our lives. We need to be careful that we don't get into that mode where we think that we're right all the time. We need to be better listeners. And there are some steps to better listeners. Listen to this one. There was a wise owl who lived in an oak. The more that he saw, the less that he spoke. The less that he spoke, the more he listened. Why can't we all be like that old owl? We need to hear more about what's going on. We need to hear what other people are saying. There are people who have stories to tell that they are dying for somebody just to listen to them. Talk less, listen more. Talk less, listen more. Stop formulating a response while you're listening. That is probably the single most effective thing that I could tell you to do today to become a better listener, is stop thinking about how you're going to answer their conversation. You know, we live in an adversarial society right now where everything turns into an argument, everything turns into a debate. But the truth of the matter is, we don't need to argue about all the things that are going on. We just need to listen to what they're saying and listen to what they're telling us. Ask questions, just simple questions. What do you mean by that? Can you give me an example of what you mean by that? And just let them talk. People love to tell their story. And we need to listen better. And you will build more relationships by listening than by talking. So let's take time to listen. And thirdly, the thing about relationships that I think really kind of throws us for a real loop is that they take time. Relationship building takes time. You've got to spend time with each other. And we don't have any time. We think we don't have any time. I'm too busy. I can't spend an hour at a coffee table, at a coffee shop. I can't have people over. You know what? First you got to clean the house, and then it takes 2 hours to do that. And then you've got to have them over, and that takes at least an hour or two. And then you got to clean up after they're gone. There's another hour. That's 4 hours invested in building a relationship. I just don't have time for all of that. Well, maybe it will help to look at it a little bit differently. We all have the same amount of time. Everybody's got 24 hours in a day. I don't get an extra 2 hours because I'm a pastor. And you don't get 2 hours taken away because you're a parent. We all got 24 hours in a day. What we all need to do is to prioritize those things that are important. That's what we really need to do. And you do that by saying no to things that are not important. You say no to more things than you say yes to. You need to ask yourself the question, is this going to help me build relationships, or is this just wasting time? There are probably more hours, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I read a report not too long ago, I think it was about a year ago, that Americans have more leisure time on their hands today than they've ever had before. And we do. We just choose to use it and fill it with things that aren't very profitable to us. Try keeping a diary of how you spend your time. Just do that for a couple of days. Just, you know, got up, 8 o'clock, watched the news. Had a cup of coffee. Got dressed, got to work. Went to work, you know, came home, read the newspaper. Oh, who reads the newspaper anymore? Read the newspaper online. Spent 2 hours online. You know, all of that kind of stuff. Just kind of see how much time you've really got, and maybe it will lead you to prioritize your time, because time is the most valuable gift you can give. I want you to hear that. The most valuable gift you can give somebody is not candy or flowers or money. It's time. You value people when you give them time. You infuse them with value. When you spend time with people, you're saying, you're important enough for me to spend time with. Did you ever get with somebody who doesn't have time for you? Hey, can we talk just a minute? Yeah, a little bit later, okay? I'm really busy right now. I'll talk. We'll make an appointment. We'll do it later, okay? And you think, gee, all I wanted to do was to take 5 minutes and share something with them. I guess I'm not very important. But when you get somebody to stop and spend time with you, all of that goes away. Giving the gift of time is an act of service. Get that? Giving the gift of time is an act of service. You are serving others when you give the gift of time. Now think about that for just a minute. What do servants do? Whatever the master wants to. What do we do when we give the gift of time? We're saying, this time is yours. Let's use it for whatever you want to use it for. Tell me what you have to tell me. Share each other's lives. Tell me what you're going through. Tell me your victories. Tell me your struggles. Tell me all of that kind of stuff, and I will listen. That's how these two kind of blend together with each other. Don't be in such a hurry that you cannot give the gift of time to the people around you. It's absolutely necessary. Now, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little warning before we go any further. Building relationships is risky because you have to open up your heart. You have to give that gift of time. And some people don't want that gift of time. Some people will reject your gift. Some people won't want to be with you. Some people will hurt you on purpose. Some people will talk about you behind your back. Some people will abandon you. That's the risk of building relationships. But on the other side, some people will thrive underneath it. Some people will enrich your lives because you built a relationship with them. You will enrich other people's lives. You will find the joy of having a relationship with somebody that is a gift from God. But God experienced this. In Romans 5:10, it says this: since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. I want you to focus on that phrase, while we were still enemies. What it's saying is this: when God had no guarantee that we would reciprocate His love, when God had no guarantee that we would respond willingly and joyfully to the sacrifice of His Son, He took the chance anyway. He knew some would reject. He knew it was going to be painful to do that. And if you have a fear of being rejected, let me just put it this way as kindly as I can. You need to get over that. You're going to get rejected. It's going to happen. There are some people who, because of dysfunction, because of anger issues, whatever it is, they just simply don't know how to accept love. And they're going to hurt you. Jesus experienced that. He was betrayed by His very disciples. He had failures among His relationships. At one time, Jesus was teaching to the crowd, and all His disciples were around Him. And He said, whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood is worthy of the kingdom of God. And all the disciples started turning to each other, and they started saying stuff like, whoa. Wait a minute, this is just a little bit too far. And it says, from that point on, many disciples turned away and deserted Him. You think God doesn't know what it's like to have a relationship abandoned? He knows. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was arrested, and He predicted it before, and He said, listen, there's coming a time when all you guys are going to desert Me. And they all said, no, we'll never do that. But it said that they came to arrest Him, and all the disciples deserted Him. One even ran away. They grabbed Him by His cloak. He was so desperate to get away from Jesus, His Master, the One that He loved, that he ran away naked in order to get away. Can you imagine the pain that caused Jesus to know that His love was not going to be reciprocated? Let me tell you something. You take a risk. It is a risk to build relationships with people, because not everybody can handle it. Not everybody can reciprocate that. Not everybody will trust you. Not everybody will know what you're trying to get at. But take the risk. Take the risk of opening up your heart and your life. Be a person of encouragement. There's a guy in the Bible named Barnabas. He's called Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. He was one of these guys that always had something positive to say. He was one of these guys that was always building people up. He was one of these guys that was always encouraging people. As a matter of fact, Paul and Mark were at odds with each other, and Paul left John Mark behind in one of the places that they were visiting. And Barnabas came alongside, put his arm around him, and said, "Come on, you and I will go here together. We will continue on." He was encouraging to those people around him. He was just a positive influence in that person's life. Let me tell you, one of the best ways that you can get people to come to you and not run away from you: be a person of encouragement. Don't be a downer. Okay? Don't be a downer. Don't look at the dark side of everything. Look at the bright side of everything. Look for something good. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. I know how much that works in my life. My wife is a great encourager. She's always got an encouraging word for me. She's the one that lifts me up. She's the one that makes me feel better when I'm down, because she's such an encouragement to me. And I know that I can go to her anytime and get an encouraging word from her. Who's the encourager in your life? And are you the encourager in someone else's life? Are you a positive person? Do you have something good to say? Don't let people starve for encouragement. In Galatians 6:10, it says, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those of the family of faith." We should be doing good to people. We should be looking ways to encourage them. We should be looking for ways to make them feel better about themselves and about what God is doing in their life. A couple ways you can do that. Number one, catch somebody doing something good and compliment them on it. Tell them, "Good job. I noticed that you did that. You did a great thing. I appreciate what you're doing. I know that you care." Just little things like that. It doesn't have to be a great big expression of love where you go out and buy them an expensive present and say, "Thank you for doing such good stuff." Just a word of encouragement can make all the difference in a person's life. When you go to work tomorrow, make it your goal to encourage everybody you come in contact with. Be encouraging to them. Secondly, share a failure, a vulnerability with somebody. Let them know that you struggle too. You know, if someone comes up to you and says something like, "You know what? I just don't know about tomorrow. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I don't know if I can do it." You can share with them, "You know what, sometimes I feel like that too. I know what you mean. It's really hard sometimes. But boy, what I do when I have days like that is I go to the Lord and I just confess all the good things that He's done for me. And it really changes my attitude." Just share an encouraging word with someone in the middle of your vulnerability and let them see the light of the Lord shining through it. So what's all the goal of this? What are we trying to do? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this: "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." Folks, I think there's an important lesson in that verse for us, is that the good news needs to be shared along with our lives. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. The gospel is enough, but just sharing the gospel is not nearly as effective as sharing the gospel with sharing your life with someone. Building a relationship with them. Letting them know that you're open, that you're available, that you can be their friend, that you're interested in them, that you want to have a relationship with them. I'm going to give you some homework. Aren't you excited about that? I want you to target three people this week. I want you to target three people this week that you're going to begin to build a relationship. It can be somebody in the church, can be somebody outside of the church. That really doesn't matter right now. I just want you to begin building relationships, and I want you to do something. I want you to target three people. We're going to pray in just a moment. I want you to decide who those three people are, and then this week, just look and make opportunities to build relationships with them. Invite them out for a cup of coffee. Spend a little extra time in the hallway with them. Ask them questions. How's your family doing? Where are you going on vacation this year? What's your favorite food? Whatever, it doesn't matter. But begin that building of relationships with them. And then just watch what God begins to do with that as you open your heart and your life to people around you. Now, I know this is scary as all get out for some of you, because you've got your little circle of friends that you've already built relationships with, and you're satisfied with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not telling you to get rid of your old friends. I'm telling you to expand your horizons a little bit. Open up new avenues of ministry. Open up new opportunities for the Lord to bring people into your life, and watch what God does with that. Will you do that for me? Some of you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have created us as social beings.